rocking around the Christmas tree.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, sacred music for the Christmas season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the Christmas season, coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The back alley of abortions operating today inside so-called legal abortion clinics.
What I think makes evolutionary theory bad science today is we're not allowing an honest testing of it.
If you're a Christian and you're going to oppose same-sex marriage, we're going to put you in Bigotville and you have to stay there. And if we catch you outside in likable land, then we're going to be very angry about this and punish you for kind of coming into our territory.
I think the liturgy really is children's church. You know, it's especially true when you see people who've lost their memory, who've lost their sight, who don't know how to read. Children who don't know how to read, they can all participate in the liturgy.
Latin teachers and future seminarians, love, issues, etc. Pater Noster, qui es in caelis, sanctificat or nomen tuum.
I guess it shouldn't surprise us that in an age where the sexual revolution has kicked into, well, it was in high gear before, now it's just careening down the highway. It's bouncing off of guardrails. It is threatening everything in its path, and who knows what its path is next. When the sexual revolution picks up that kind of steam and that kind of momentum, we're going to have what probably 10 years ago might have sounded like absurd kind of debates, legally, medically, psychologically, but yet this is where we are. We talk about the bathroom debate, and most everybody who watches the news knows what we're talking about. We're talking about, can a man who thinks he's a woman go to a woman's bathroom in public? Or a woman who thinks she's a man go to a men's bathroom in public? And it's found its way into state houses and legal debates. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon, the 22nd. Of December. We're going to be talking about whether or not genderless bathrooms are consistent with the principles of conservatism. Glenn Stanton of Focus on the Family will be our guest a little bit later. Dr. Ken Sherbel will join us, part 48 of our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation. We're looking at Luther's Sermon on the Mount in an extended way. We're up to the Lord's Prayer, where he talks about prayer and contrasts the Lord's Prayer with praying, thinking that you're heard because of your many words. Suzanne Venker will join us. We'll talk about the real empowerment of women, and then we'll get a review of the movie Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Pastor Ted Giese, our regular movie reviewer, will be our guest. We'll round everything off on this Thursday afternoon in our series, Christ in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 52, a couple verses there, The Lord's Coming Salvation, with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Now, you can join us with your questions or comments over the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @IssuesETC, and our listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Glenn Stanton is a regular guest. He joins us to answer the question, are genderless bathrooms consistent with conservatism? He's director of Global Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family and author of the book Loving My LGBT Neighbor, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, There Is No Conservative Case for Genderless Bathrooms. Glenn, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me.
I guess we kind of assume at this point that someone's going to walk into a doctor's office or a lawyer's office and have themselves declared in some legal or medical sense transgender. Does such a standard actually exist?
Well, I mean, in a word, no. And that's an important thing for all of us to understand, because we think, you know, this whole bathroom thing is predicated on the idea of, well, shouldn't this kind of person be able to go use the bathroom that corresponds with what they are? You know, just like, I mean, and we hear it from the other side all the time, just like we cannot, and it's wrong to exclude African Americans, Asians, these objective ways that people just are. And the same thing would apply to the transgender issue, but that is just simply not the case. There is no objective measure, medically, psychologically, legally, that determines whether one is transgender or not. A doctor can't, you know, look at an individual. You can't do an autopsy on a body and say, okay, this is a transgender individual. Transgenderism exists solely in the mind and the appraisal of the individual themselves. And there is nobody that can say, no, you're actually not, or you actually are. It exists in the mind and the self-understanding of the individual making the claim. I mean, that is the definition of subjectivism, right?
It can't even, as you point out, really even be determined by whether, say, a man decides he wants to try and pass as a woman, dress and take on other physical characteristics, maybe even through surgery, of a woman. Why can I not count on, well, if I see a man obviously dressed as a woman, there we go. And if I see a man dressed as a man, I know we're not dealing with a transgender person. Why not?
Well, and see, that's a big thing as well, because we think, you know, well, okay, this person is going to be dressed as a woman. They're going to go into a woman's restroom. They're going to go into the stall. What's the big deal? But there is no criteria. I mean, it's interesting that, you know, back in the Bruce Jenner day, many people would ask me is like, okay, he's changed clothing, he's changed his look, but like, what about surgery, you know, south of the border? Has he had that? And you're like, no. Well, gosh, how can he be, you know, seen as a woman? There is no criteria whatsoever. And this is inherent in gender theory, because in gender theory, the appearance of male and female are just simply social constructs, and typically social constructs pushed by male power and male influence. So they would say, you know, gosh, that, you know, that man doesn't look like the woman that he says that he is. And the gender theorist would say, well, tell me what a woman looks like, you know. And we're assuming that, you know, people, transgender or not, are going to play by the assumed rules that, you know, yes, this individual needs to understand that they are, and they will look like a woman. No, these rules, I mean, the policies just essentially say, according to gender theory, that any man can walk into any woman's restroom, he can look like Clint Eastwood or John Wayne, and he has to answer to nobody as to whether he is actually transgender or not, because there is no criteria, and you can't question somebody on whether they actually are or not. That would be a violation of, you know, their private understanding of who they are. And that's what, you know, opens up this whole can of worms about this issue. It is not about, you know, certain people having the right to visit certain restrooms. It is completely creating, and I think it's important for people to understand this, not trans access to bathrooms, but genderless bathrooms themselves.
Now, there was a piece recently in National Review Online, a publication that I greatly respect, and I know you do as well, but it was trying to make the case, the conservative case, for kind of either acquiescence or not really so much in support of genderless bathrooms. And it approached it basically by saying, look, it's none of our business. That's at the heart of conservatism. The last thing we need is more government rules. So let's just go along, because that'll just give us more government rules. What do you make of those first two claims of that piece?
Well, and that's why I wrote the piece for The Federalist, as a reaction to that. And you know what? I mean, National Review, they published great, great stuff. And I think they published this one as a provocative piece. But no, this was a guy making the quote-unquote conservative case, as you said, for transgender bathrooms. Actually, what it was the kind of extreme libertarian case, because he's saying, you know, people ought to have the right to do what they want to do, and that government shouldn't get involved in that. And he made the case that, you know, conservatives oppose additional legislation. Well, he misunderstands the issue, because it's not like, you know, people like us rose up and said there ought to be a law against men who think they're women going into women's bathrooms. That fight was brought to us, and it said we ought to change policy to say that any bathroom is open to anybody. And conservatives and traditionalists, if you will, are simply responding to the fight that was brought to us. And that is the issue here. And really, the issue comes down to, and this is the point that I made in my article, conservatives conserve. And primarily what they're seeking to conserve here is the fundamental important issue of female modesty. I mean, a good society will defend that virtue at all costs. And that is exactly what is being challenged with these bathroom laws, is saying that the modesty that is inherent and fundamental to the female person doesn't really matter. In fact, it's something that our wives and our daughters just need to get over. Well, that is a violation and a rebuke to women that is just absolutely unfair, and that nobody should stand for. Not women, not our daughters, and certainly not we as husbands and fathers.
One of the other things that was brought up there, and you kind of began to respond there, is this notion we don't need more government rules. You say that really, really fails to understand the politics and where this issue came from. Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the guy at National Review, I mean, he said, yes, that inherent in conservatism is, you know, smaller government. But when we allow government to make, you know, more and more policies and more laws, then we're contributing. And he says, well, you know, banning transgender people from entering bathrooms is creating more laws. But again, he fails to understand that, no, we had laws that say men go to men's bathroom, women go to women's bathrooms, and it's the transgender people that came along that said we need additional laws to say that, no, bathrooms ought to be open to anybody regardless of their gender. And so we are simply responding to their increasing and their additional laws put upon us. And so this guy, you know, making his case, this author at National Review making his case of the conservative case for transgender bathrooms, just really fails to understand the issue itself.
The other thing is that he engaged, and you say rather quickly, moved to what you call a simplistic dismissal of those who have concerns about gender-free facilities. What did he say, and what's your response?
Yeah, he basically says, okay, so I've laid out the conservative case, smaller government, and let people do what they will. And besides, these people, and this is what he's saying, besides, these people who are all worked up about the dangers of opening these restrooms to, you know, it'll encourage predators and pedophiles and things like that. Well, he goes into address in, you know, like three different ways why that's ridiculous. And we could address his various points, but you know what? Most moms and fathers of small daughters, you know, it's not the pedophile thing. It's not that there's going to be creepers coming into bathrooms and you know, doing bad things. Those already exist. But what it is it degenders, if you will, the bathroom. And the real concern is, any man can go into any woman's bathroom under these laws and just simply claim, hey, I'm a transgender person. And they may not, you know, be seeking to abuse or sexually molest somebody, but they will be molesting them simply by their sheer presence. You know, I mean, there are guys like, hey, in that room, in that locker room, you can go in and you can see women in all stages of undress. There are a lot of people, and they're not pedophiles. They're not, you know, really sick people. They're, you know, men without any checks on their you know, gentlemanliness, and they're going to go, wow, okay, there's no law that says I can't go into that locker room or into that bathroom and see women undressing. That, again, is what we're looking at. And so his, you know, taking the extreme case of like, well, we can't do this because it will open up, you know, free-for-alls for pedophiles and things like that. No, that's not really the concern. The concern is that it simply challenges and tells women that they need to get over their own sense of modesty, and that's not fair.
Glenn Stanton is director of Global Family Formation Studies at Focus on the Family. He's author of the book Loving My LGBT Neighbor and a recent column for The Federalist titled There Is No Conservative Case for Genderless Bathrooms. You can read it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Glenn, keep up the good work. Thank you very much.
Hey, likewise, Todd. Thanks.
We continue our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation on the other side of the break on this Thursday afternoon. We're going to spend some time with Dr. Ken Sherb delving into Matthew 6. We're in Matthew 6. We're picking up at the 7th verse and in time dealing with the Lord's Prayer itself. Stay tuned.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Christians young and old are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. The San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldviewsa.org. worldusa.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Issues Etc. book of the month for December is a Christmas book for children ages 5 through 9. It's titled The Christmas Connection. You can find out more about this new Christmas Arch book at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Christmas Connection by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will discover the relationship between Jesus' birth and resurrection in The Christmas Connection. 1-800-325-3040.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performance Fitness 618.com.